We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, last week, unfortunately for my next guest, he was not the most prominent man with his last name who came on the show. So maybe a little bit of a step down, but John Heyman's report, not Paul Heyman's report, John Heyman's report, is brought to you by Sport Clips. You watch sports, we cut hair. It's perfect. Sport Clips. It's Good to Be a Guy by Merrick Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram and by Brother Supply, your number one source for ice, air, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. Mr. John Heyman, sir.
What's up? How are you? We should have an all Heyman show someday. I mean, you on there, of course, but having interviews with all the Heymans.
A Heyman roundtable between you and Paul. Do you know Paul Heyman?
I don't know him personally. We are not related, but he does have a fine name.
Do you get confused for him occasionally?
A little bit on Twitter, maybe. Not in person.
The one question I regret not asking Mr. Paul Heyman was, does he know John Heyman? I was curious how familiar he was with you, and I forgot to ask that question.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
You never know. He's a well-rounded guy, New Yorker, Yankee fan.
I guess so.
He's not a Long Islander like us. He's a Scarsdale guy. So, you know.
Scarsdale. Yeah, it's a little upscale there.
All right, let me ask you. When you're a Dodger fan and you get the news that Kenley Jansen's coming back, you get all excited. You're like, hey, look, oh, my God, he's coming back earlier. It's great news. It was scary with the heartbeat issue, the irregular heartbeat. He comes back. John, he stinks.
Well, he may not be at full strength. You take a little time off and they come back and doesn't mean you're 100%. We're very happy that the doctor gave him the go-ahead. Terrific individual. Look, you had this pegged from the beginning. I cannot get away from this. You, genius. You had the under on 94, 95, whatever it was, wins. They ain't going to sniff 94, 95 wins at this point. And the NL is starting to look a little bit clearer based on Philly and L.A. It looks like, I mean, it's only a couple games, I know, but you got six teams for five right now. But, I mean, L.A. and Philly aren't dead, but they don't look good now. They're running seventh and eighth, and they look bad. So
you know what, John?
A little clearer.
Here's what I would say, and let's take the two in the East. Forget the Nationals. They started selling, and we'll get to that in a little bit. You take the two teams in the East, the three in the Central, and the three in the West. You do the math, that adds up to eight teams. You take those eight teams, I don't know about any of them. I'm confident about the Cubs. I'm more confident in them than anybody else. But I think there's going to be a lot of roller coaster rides with these eight teams where, like right now, the Phillies have lost four in a row. So it's, oh, what's up with the Phillies, like you just
right.
said. Oh, the Rockies are playing well. They've won, you know, 8 out of 10 or whatever it is. Oh, they got it figured out. I think it's going to be a roller coaster ride for the next month and a half with those eight teams.
Could be. I'm worried about the Phillies. They look like overachievers to begin with at rotation, which is very young. People wondered whether they were going to last till the end. So far, they've done really well, but we have more than a month to go. Those guys generally do not have a lot of innings under their belt. So, I'm not saying they're out of it, but I think that their chances are not spectacular at this moment. You're right. I mean, certainly L.A. and Philly aren't out of it at this point. I think we could safely say San Francisco's not going to make it, Pittsburgh's not going to make it, and I don't think Washington's going to make it. I agree with them that they're not going to make it. I don't know why they did it exactly when they did it. Why not put Murphy and Harper, too, on waivers a couple days later and see how you do in those games? But, they had to make that decision at that moment since Murphy and Harper were both claimed, and Adams.
But when's the perfect time to do it? Because I think it seems this season we've waited on the Nationals, and I've assumed they were going to get hot and win the division. When's the time to finally
pull the plug? Well, it's a deadline. You haven't told the deadline. You know, why not wait?
You're right, but it gives you less wiggle room to also work something out. Because you got the 48-hour time period, so it doesn't matter. Because once the guys get – so take me through this real quick. So Murphy gets claimed by the Cubbies, which I still can't believe. Every team in the National League passed on him until the Chicago Cubs. You've got 48 hours to either work out a deal, give him the player, or pull him back.
Correct. 48.
Did they get a good return on Murphy from the Cubbies?
They didn't get anything, really. I mean, I would denigrate the minor leaguer that they got, but as far as we could tell, and they did get a player to be named later, a Cash. Now, you know, I can't say Cash is nothing. We all like Cash. But they didn't get much. But so, Murphy has a significant salary. It's either $13 or $14 million I have in front of me. And, there's still, 1/6 of the season to go or something like that. So it's more than $2 million. So a guy who's not moving great and hasn't had a great season, the value is fairly slim on it now,
John,
even though he's hot.
He is hot. Here's the thing I don't understand, all right? And I totally get the fact that he's moving around. I mean, he's 33 years old. He's not moving around the way he moved around a few years ago with the health.
Right, but coming back from microfracture knee surgery.
Big deal. No doubt about it. But you're talking about a month and a half, and you're talking about a guy who's hit over the last few weeks. You're talking about a guy that has had an epic postseason run, so you know he's capable of it.
Against the Cubs.
Against the Cubs.
Right.
Wouldn't that have value? I mean, we're talking about a month and a half here. It's not a long-term investment in him.
Yeah. I think it does. It has some value.
Didn't.
Not a lot, though.
But it did.
I think we saw what the value was. Not an immense amount of value.
So then what happens? This is why I've assumed now for a year that Daniel Murphy will end up being a Met. The reason I assume it is because he's not going to get paid, that he's going to get to free agency. And much like this trade period, there isn't going to be a lot of interest in him. There's going to be worry about his defense, worry about his health, and he's going to end up signing a one-year nothing kind of contract. And we know the Mets love stuff like that. They don't like spending a lot of money.
It's hard to predict the contracts. They've been all over the map the last few years, but there has been a trend toward paying less for guys over 30 and position players who aren't superstars seem to have gotten hurt in some cases, whether it be a corner player or even a middle-of-the-diamond player. So he's not going to get a huge contract. I was surprised last time. He only had one offer, as he said at his press conference. Washington made a great deal in that case. He was fantastic for them. I'm not going to – I could see him getting more than 1 year. He is still a very, very good hitter. Depend on his finish.
Yeah, do you think that he ends up finally in the American League? Is he now is he going to end up positionless going into next year? He's still playing second base, but
yeah, I mean, the Cubs will have to give him a position
For a short period of time.
I probably can play second base for another year, but if he gets a 2-year deal, which I think is possible, I should be an American League team, you would think. Yes, I would agree with that.
I thought when the deal first went down, I said, boy, he would have been perfect for the Yankees, but the Yankees never had a chance. He never got to him on waivers. Do you see the Yankees, and they're in a weird spot now because they're 9 games back in the division. It's realistic that they're not going to win it. The way they managed yesterday, I thought Boone managed as if he didn't really care that much about the game. He was looking at more the series against Baltimore and the long-term picture of it. Do you see them adding a bat, considering how bad Greg Bird has been and all the injuries they're dealing with?
Yeah, I thought they should add a right-handed bat for the outfield. Bird has not been good. I think they have a concern about him for the future. I don't know if they can solve that now. If they could find a right-handed bat who can play a little outfield and a little first base, that would be pretty good. It's very complicated because of the threshold, the 197 again, and they wouldn't mind adding a pitcher too. So, they could look at it a couple different ways here. It's interesting that McCutchen is out there. I think he will get traded somewhere. Not sure that would be the Yankees. The Phillies have looked at Adam Jones. Anybody who's interested in Adam Jones should be interested in McCutchen. Similar type guy who's a decent right fielder now, not a center fielder. Right-handed bat. I think the Yankees could use a few things, and they don't have that much money to spend, so tough to see which way they're going to go exactly. Obviously, they have the injury to the closer at this point. Their bullpen still looks pretty good, but that rotation still, if you could get somebody for the rotation, that'd be fantastic. I'm not sure that can be done, though.
We're talking to John Heyman, not Paul Heyman, about baseball. If you're a Red Sox fan, I mean, a couple of things are obvious. They should win the American League East, barring a collapse. They should finish with the best record in the American League and all that. I don't think chasing 114 wins or 116 wins is worth it. But it's a warning sign to me that Chris Sale went back on the DL. One trip on the DL, okay, fine. You're resting him up. You don't want him to wear down like in years past. How much concern should there be for the fact that Sale's back on the DL again?
Yeah, I'm concerned only because he's concerned. I mean, he came back so strong off the first one, and I was with you. I thought maybe they're just resting him, doing one of those things to give him, put him on the kind of fake DL thing. But now it's the second time, and he came out and said he's unhappy about it. So I would say that's a bit of a concern. He's clearly been – it's going to be interesting to see whether he gets to Cy Young if he does not come back or only pitches one more time or something like that. He doesn't even qualify for the ERA title at this point, 146 innings.
He can't.
I still think he's the Cy Young winner. But
can you do that with 23? Because right now he's made 23 starts. So if you want to say, hey, they need him to tune up for the playoffs, let's say he makes two or three more starts, he gets to 25, 26. Is that really enough, as great as he's been?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why? We've had relievers win the Cy Young,
that's
and
different.
Rightfully so.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's different, though. They're impacting the game in a very different way. He's a starting pitcher. He's only thrown 100.
You got to go with who's the best. And I'm sorry to tell you this. They have a measure now. It's imperfect. It's called WAR. He's still the leader. WAR is an aggregate number. So if he's got the top WAR, that gives you an idea that he has made the biggest impact among the starters. I without looking at that, I wouldn't even have to look at the WAR. Just looking at the numbers, even 146 innings, I think he's been the best pitcher over the guys who've thrown 20 innings more, 25 innings more, whatever it is. Obviously, there have been good pitchers in the league. Bauer's been good. He's on the DL2. Verlander's been good. Edwin Diaz, from a relief standpoint, has been really good. Snell, really good. But nobody's been Sale. Sale, to me, should be the winner.
I don't know what that cutoff is because, I mean, there's no doubt, there's no debate. Has he been the best pitcher in the American League this year? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, but I don't know. It just feels like that's not enough. I'll give you an example. Can I give you an example?
You can. It is your show.
Okay. Let's go back. Remember Clayton Kershaw 1 year made 21 starts and had the best ERA. Had a 1.69 ERA. It was unbelievable. He finished fifth in the Cy Young behind a guy in Max Scherzer whose ERA was near 3. A guy like John Lester, who had a mid-2 ERA, even Kyle Hendricks and Madison Bumgarner, finished behind all of those guys, not because of any stat other than the fact that he only made 21 starts and threw 150 innings. If he finished fifth that year, why do you assume Chris Sale could do better than that?
Well, it's a total picture. You look at everything. I don't have it in front of me, but I think Kershaw was more than 50 innings behind, probably 75 innings behind some of those guys. Right now, we're looking at him as Sale at 146. I don't think anybody in the American League, I'll have to look at who's in contention, is going to get to 230, 240 innings. Verlander always throws a lot of innings, but I don't have it in front of me. I just think that he's been the most deserving. You look at the full picture, and he is the winner. I thought Kershaw, and is that right? He came in fifth?
Fifth,
okay.
Look at,
I thought that was about right at the time when I looked at it. I did not think he should have won.
You're right then, you're wrong now. I mean, yes, you're right.
It happens, right. You know. Nobody bets 1,000. So.
Clayton Kershaw, I'll do it real quick because it's a lot. In 2016, Clayton Kershaw made 21 starts, had a 1.69 ERA, completed 3 games, 149 innings. Here are the numbers of the guys that finished ahead of him in Cy Young voting. Madison Bumgarner, 15-9, 274, 34 starts. Kyle Hendricks, 16-8, 213, 30 starts. John Lester, 19-5, 244, 32 starts. And Max Scherzer won at 20-7, 296, 34 starts. So those guys made significantly more starts. I agree with them finishing ahead of them. But clearly, I mean, Clayton Kershaw's ERA was almost a run and a half better than the guy that won the Cy Young.
Yeah, Kershaw, it felt like he was out in longer periods than Sale. Now, we'll see. I mean, Sale's, we still have 6-5 weeks to go, around 5 weeks to go. And if he misses the whole time, could change. I'm not saying it's a lock, but at this point, I'm not sure how someone's going to beat him. It doesn't feel like there's anybody in the American League who's more deserving than him. Who would you vote for if you had a vote?
As of right, well, okay, you're gonna trick me here. Right now, because we still have a month and a half left and Chris Sale hasn't missed that time yet, the answer is clearly Chris Sale. I'm merely saying if he doesn't come back and make a decent amount of starts, I think it's tough for him to win the award when you only make that few amount of starts. So right now, my answer is still Chris Sale. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Okay. And I don't know who would win it if Sale doesn't come back. I mean, Justin Verlander's been more human lately. You mentioned that. I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, Bauer's been really good. He'd probably be second, but he's on the DL as well.
Yeah.
We don't know how long he's going to be back. I mean, the team says 4 to 6 weeks from his the moment of incident. He said less, fewer, so we'll see. So I think he's in a tough spot. I just don't see anybody who I think can beat Sale.
It would have to come down to Snell outside shot because he's still thrown fewer innings than Sale, and he missed time, and Verlander. I think if Verlander makes the rest of his starts, he's already at 170 innings, so he's already 20 more innings ahead of Chris Sale. If he just piles up on that and can keep the ERA under 3, it's probably him. It's probably Verlander, if I had to give you an answer.
Okay. I think it'll be Sale. Huh? We'll see.
Bye. Look, if Chris Sale comes back, it will be.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking to John Heyman about baseball. Speaking of that Astro team, you know, they're getting a little bit of a scare here, man. I mean, the Oakland A's, they did lose yesterday, and they're doing it with a rotation that makes absolutely no sense. But the Astros taking a little bit of a scare right now in this American League West.
Tough to repeat. They've had injuries, Springer being out, Altuve out just back now, and Correa has not been great. While those two others were out, McCann also out. So a lot of injuries and tough to repeat. They're going to make it. I think they'll make it to the end. But and I still think, even though Oakland's been unbelievable, fantastic, the best team in the American League over the last month or probably 2 months, I'd rather play them in the wild card than Houston. You know, I wouldn't want to go up against Verlander or whoever Houston's going to throw out there. That, to me, the most amazing thing this year is Oakland and their performance with that rotation, you know, going back to get Cahill and Anderson, two guys who were on the team 10 years ago, and nobody thought of them as top starters, and Edwin Jackson, who nobody figured his career was going to go on, and Mike Fiers, that's 80% of your rotation. Now, Fiers has done well, but,
yes.
I mean, how does that rotation stack up to Houston's?
It doesn't.
Shocking.
It doesn't.
Shocking. And that's why Cora, even if he wins 114 or 116 games, he's got no chance he's going to win the manager of the year. Bob Melvin has to be the manager of the year.
Yeah, I'm mixed about it because I think if the Red Sox won 110 games, it's tough to not give it to Cora. But your point is so right on that he's done more, Melvin, that is, more with less, and it's not even close.
Amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. Oakland has a better team than we thought. I don't think there's any question about that. They didn't have a team that should be competing with Houston at this point.
No.
The chemistry does play. I'm not with all the numbers guys on that. I do think there's something to it. I do think the team is better than we thought. Chapman is one of the best players in the league, and I think we're starting to realize that now.
Well, he's not one of the best players in the league. He's a nice player. He's a good
player.
Have you
seen his WAR?
I don't check
the WAR.
I know that's why you were going to say it, because for some reason, Matt Chapman's WAR is higher than, like, everybody's. It's ridiculous.
He's great defensively.
He is
right there at the top with Arenado. And if you put Machado at third, and LA's had him play third a little bit, those three are all-time great at third base. Obviously Chapman's going to play more than one great year, but in terms of the performance this year, it's all-time great defensively.
It made me laugh. I think it was on the Yankee broadcast. I could be wrong about this because I watch a million different games, but I think it was on the Yankee broadcast. Kay asked Al Leiter. Yes, it was the Yankee broadcast, because I remember it. Kay asked Leiter, he said, hey, who's the best defensive third baseman in baseball? And my answer, without even breaking a sweat, was, well, it's Manny Machado. Meanwhile, the guy didn't even play third base, but it's probably Arenado or Chapman, you're right, but it's funny, Manny Machado may be better than all of them.
He's unbelievable at third, and he's willing to play third, I think, for the right team, and we'll see what they can do, because Andujar is the rookie of the year in the American League. I think there's little doubt about that one. I know I'm counting these awards with a month to go, but Machado, from everything we've heard, would love to be a Yankee. So
do the Yankees want? Because they have ways to make that happen. That
yeah,
could make sense.
I don't know. They don't want to spend $300 million. I know that. So he'd have to not insist on the $300 million, I think, to be a Yankee.
You know what jumps out at me if they want Manny Machado? What I would do if I'm the Yankees. And I think a lot of it is the failures of Greg Bird, but also it's so impressive how hard Andujar works. You know, you can see it. This kid is busting his ass. You try to teach him first base. You try to move him across the diamond, and there you go. Manny's at third. Didi's at short. Glaber's at second. You have three shortstops playing three shortstops in your infield.
Right.
That'd be the way you could do it.
Yeah, Andujar probably would not be great at first, but I'm kind of with you on that one to give it a shot. And he could hit for that position based on how he's done as a rookie with the numbers. They're comparing him to DiMaggio and whomever in terms of, at least in terms of the extra base hits. Obviously, he's not going to hit 340 or whatever DiMaggio hit as a rookie, but Andujar is a fantastic hitter, so he profiles at first if he can play it at all, and I don't know that he can. It's harder than it looks, as we've seen.
I agree. The only reason I think it's possible is work ethic. I think if you work hard enough, it's something.
He's been impressive on all levels this year, has Andujar. No question about it, and I do think the Yankees are concerned about Bird, at least some people with the Yankees are concerned.
Well, they should be. What has he done? What the heck
Well,
he
had
done?
That grand slam the other day.
Great.
That was very exciting.
What's he done since then?
Well, that was just a couple days
He's
ago.
0 for 14 with, like, seven strikeouts. Well, that's what he's done since then.
Well, you have the numbers right there. You're good. It's hard to debate with a guy who has got all the facts at his disposable.
I remember it.
You're good. Well,
they're still
at your disposal. They're in your brain. Good job.
Just saying, bro. Bro, just saying. Those are his numbers since his grand slam.
You're good.
What do you... All right, last thing, because, you know, if I take you for more than a half hour, Dove loses his mind, all right?
We don't want that.
What are you hearing about Matt Harvey? There's a report that he was placed on waivers, somebody made a claim, and now there's that period of time to negotiate a deal.
He was claimed.
Did the Mets claim him?
I don't know that the period has expired. It usually expires at between 1 and 1:30. That's when it expires. It's 48 and a half hours from the point. So, I've heard that it's not that likely that he gets traded. You know, I don't know whether that's because it was taken by a team that's intending to block or whatever. I doubt he got through the National League. His salary is not huge, considering he's pitched pretty well with Cincinnati. So I would think L.A., somebody like that, would have probably claimed him. I'm hearing it's unlikely that he'll be traded. That does not mean no cards, no letters. I know whether that's a 30-year-old expression. No emails, no tweets, no texts, if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Unlikely only means not likely. Doesn't mean no.
You know trolling, how trolling can sometimes be a lot of fun?
Trolling is very enjoyable,
okay. All right, let me take you through this. The team that claimed Matt Harvey, the New York Mets.
Because
the Mets said to themselves, look, we know if we're not making a deal with them, so let's force Matt Harvey to have to remain in Cincinnati for the next month plus. That's called trolling right there, John.
Because they'd have to say no to that.
And the Reds could troll back by just giving him to the Mets. By saying, fine, take him.
Well, you know, he might draw some fans if he came out and people knew he was just traded to a troll. So,
a troll trade, yes.
The troll trade. Yeah, that would make both teams look bad, though. I don't think they want to.
Trust me, the Mets look bad plenty. That doesn't.
I understand. It's been a rough year. You've been very good about it, though.
Oh, have I? I've been very good about it?
Well, you haven't canceled your tickets.
Well, I am. I'm going to cancel two of them. I have four tickets. I'm cutting it back to two.
Is that right?
Yeah, I can't pay for the four anymore. It's too much. They didn't even lower ticket prices. They sent the bill yesterday. And I had hope that maybe they would lower prices. Yeah, because they stink.
I understand. Has anyone ever lowered prices?
Mets did. Yeah, the Mets actually did. When they first moved to Citi Field, they priced the ballpark so out of whack that over the next 3 or 4 years, every year they kept lowering them. Yeah.
Okay, but nobody lowers it based on performance. The Yankees did that too, right? Didn't they have $2,500 tickets at one
time
and they lowered it to $1,200 or something like that? So.
Look, I'm a customer. Why should I re-up? You know, I still have tickets, so it's not like
you're an addict. You're a Mets addict. That's why you're going to re-up.
Okay, so I'm buying less, but I'm still getting it. So isn't that fulfilling my addiction? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm taking in less tickets, but I've still got tickets, you know, so I'm...
Yeah, you're fine. You're okay for your...
But I'm also,
you'll be going. You and your dad will be going. You're just not taking any guests
That's
anymore.
Right. I'm sending a message to the Mets. You still have me because I'm a sucker, but you don't have me as much as you had me
You actually had four tickets. Wow.
That's right. Yeah. I should have...
You're a very generous guy. You obviously have a lot of friends that you're going to take into the games.
Lots and lots of friends, clearly.
I'm not shocked. You're a very, very nice fellow.
John, thank you very much, as always.
Good talking to you.
The great John Heyman here in his weekly spot.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.